This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacy and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
I have all that mom guilt, you know, because I have a group text with two of my best friends and we talk about meals frequently. And we were actually just talking about it before I joined you. And one was talking about how she's going to be in a sports season, but she is also working on okaying with herself that dinner happens at 7 p.m. And I'm like, that's kind of where I'm at now. I need to be okay with myself that dinner is 7 p.m. and a vegetable's coming out of a can if we have a vegetable. And that's okay.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You, a podcast for busy home cooks. Hey, I'm Stacy.
And I'm Megan.
We put out a call last year for someone who hates to cook, and man, our inbox and DMs were full of so many of you who feel like that's you.
So today we are chatting with Kristen Kemper, who's a single mom in our community with a 10 and almost 12-year-old. Kristen is a working mom with a full-time job and a part-time job, you guys, and is going back to school and is getting ready for a cross-country move at the end of the school year. Plus, her kids have sports, and they each have very strong preferences, as we're going to discuss, when it comes to eating.
We will get to all of that in the interview, but Kristen also shared that she used to love cooking, so I'm curious if we feel like that's truly like that she hates to cook, or is it more that she's overwhelmed? And is actually that true for a lot of people who hate to cook? What's your take on that, Stacy?
Yeah, well, you just said it. I think you did it. That was so neat and tidy. I think, and we talk about this a little bit, I do wonder, I still would love to speak with someone at some point who like genuinely hates to cook.
Right. Like never standing at the stove is torture.
They don't
to
care.
Them.
Yes, totally. So we're going to go back through our DMs and our emails, and we still invite people, if that is you, to ping us and let us know as we vet for a future episode. And actually, after speaking to Kristen, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit, we even wondered, like, should we rename this episode? Because is it really that Kristen hates the cookers? There's something else that we can be a little bit more accurate, but I really advocated to keep the title and then to maybe explore the topic with someone else who actually like hates the act of cooking down the line, because my sense, my guess is that many people who say that they hate to cook don't, it's really not about the act of cooking. There are those people, but I bet you a whole lot of people would say they hate to cook and then fall into the same category as Kristen, where when you really start to unpack it, the issue is about the overwhelm of cooking, the overwhelm of feeding kids, the overwhelm of feeding kids who are either picky or feeling like you have to be a short order cook to get everybody to eat a single meal. I just bet that there's a lot of other stuff going on, mom guilt, and that stuff just ends up making you hate the act of having to cook for your family night after night. And I just think this is a very real experience that people who actually love cooking in some circumstances, when it's for themselves or a dinner party or when they were young and it was fun and about exploring food, now just freaking hate it because it is such a slog to be the family cook.
My very Scorpio energy is like, there's many ways to hate something. And yeah, so that's kind of what we're getting to here, right? Like, we maybe we're looking for someone who hates the chopping, sauteing part of cooking. But just like you said, there are people for whom they hate or dislike feeding their family because there's all the other parts that are like roadblocks for them. So I think we should like jump right in to our conversation with Kristen, and then we can chat a little bit more about like the overwhelm and how we deal with that, or like the different ways you can approach the different ways to hate cooking, and put out a call again for other people who are in different situations.
Kristen, I'm extremely excited about this episode because I'm fascinated, as someone who loves to cook, obviously I made it part of my profession, that we sort of put a call out to people who hate to cook, and you just raised your hand. And
you're like,
I do. I hate to cook. Mm-hmm. So let's start by you just telling us a little bit more about that. Did you always hate to cook before you had kids? Oh, kids ruined it.
I'm not even going to say the kids ruined it. It's like, I love to cook. I collected all of Martha Stewart's Everyday Food magazines.
Yes, had me
every
too.
Every single one. Love them.
Moved with them. I even moved with mine.
Yes. I finally just got rid of them.
Yeah.
So I love the cooking channel. I love Instagram. I watch all those cooking things. I pin, I save. And then when it comes time to do the cooking, because my children are so picky, specifically one, it just is kind of a beatdown because I know that nothing I prepare she's going to like. There's going to be complaints on both sides from both kids. And then I'm just so overwhelmed with daily life that I'm just like, it's one more thing that I pile on and I dread at this point in time.
Yeah.
Plus, I hate my kitchen, so it's kind of all of these things.
That's a big piece. Okay, so let's take a step back. Are you partnered? How old are your kids? Are you the only person thinking about food in the house?
I am a single parent. Mm-hmm. I have two kids. They are 10 and soon to be 12, a boy and a girl. My boy has a pretty good appetite. Like, he'll eat everything. He loves casseroles. Like, his favorite thing is a chicken rice broccoli casserole that mm-hmm. I make. Perfect. Love it. My daughter is my picky eater. She's basically carnivore only. And then she'll eat some pastas. She will not touch a rice. She will not touch a vegetable. Like, vegetables are panic attack producing.
Yeah.
And then we do some fruit. Right now, she's super into cosmic apples. So I have to like find those at grocery stores to for her to eat. So, yeah.
And was she always like this? And is there any background info on this? Is this just picky eating, or are there, if you're willing to share and feel free to not, is there like, are there sensory issues?
There's nothing diagnosed. Mm-hmm. I have some inklings that there could be some potential sensory issues. Sometimes her mannerisms do make me wonder if she could be somewhere along the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Again, I haven't had her tested for any of that, but that's kind of the world I work in. And so it always kind of pings.
Yeah.
I'm like, you make me think of some of my clients and some of your mannerisms. But no, she wasn't always picky. Like, we did baby-led weaning. I would make beef stroganoff with mushrooms, put it in front of her, and she would go to town. There's this restaurant here in town that makes this amazing black bean dip. She used to eat it by the fistfuls. I can't get a bean in that kid to save her life these days. So I don't know.
When did the shift happen?
I'm going to say the shift probably happened around 4, maybe 5. Mm-hmm. I think it might have happened kind of around the divorce. I did, like, when all of that started to go down, she was 5 and in kindergarten, and I went into kind of a depression state. So, like, she basically took over feeding her younger brother and figured out how to cook Eggo waffles, and they ate a lot of those and a lot of cheese sticks because, like, I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
So I feel like it might have happened then, because then we were, like, in survival mode, whatever was the easiest. I was not producing a vegetable for them. I wasn't producing an actual meal. And so now I'm trying to do all of that. And it's a battle.
Yeah.
It's a battle with her.
I mean, first of all, I want to thank you for being so open and honest with us. I do think it's helpful because oftentimes, not always, our relationship with food is tied up in a whole bunch of other stuff, how our brains work, our emotional life, what's going on. Same with you. You used to love to cook, but now you have all of these circumstances that are making it that you hate to cook. So I think that we understand that for ourselves, but sometimes it's hard to remember that our kids are grappling with the same thing, that their emotional life, their context, habits that they've fallen into, circumstances that they are coping with, can also be a really big piece of what's going on and why they eat the way they eat. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the fact that you hate to cook now. So
yes. I have a logistics question too that I think gives a little more context too, which is that you work full time, obviously, as a single parent outside of the house. So you're probably like gone in the morning and gone and up until dinner time. So is there like also a time crunch logistic here
too? Yes, and I think that plays into it a lot. So I have two jobs. I work a full time as the director of operations for a small real estate group. And then I work part time doing ABA therapy as a registered behavior technician. And that's from 3:30 to 6:30. So like, that's dinner time, basically. So I don't get home until almost 7. And so we've been having to adjust on that because, like, I'm pretty hardcore on bedtime. And though they are 10 and almost 12, 7:30 was, like, the start of bedtime because I'm like, y'all need your sleep.
Yes.
And so now it's getting pushed and they're not going to bed till almost closer to 9. And then they're bears in the morning that I have to deal with because they do need their sleep. They are very much like me. And so that's playing into it. Like yesterday I did a crock pot meal, but then we had life happen and we had to go to a doctor's appointment because now one of them has strep. So like that meal didn't come out of the crock pot until 9 p.m. And I put it in at like 8 a.m. So
how was it?
We didn't eat it. Thankfully, it was like a pork mojo. So, like, I shredded it. It tastes fine. But, like, now I'm just like, oh. So that meal was, it's salvageable. But, yeah. So that's kind of where I bump into things. I don't have necessarily the greatest timing, planning, scheduling.
Okay. So are these things that you have just accepted about yourself, or do you really feel like, are you bumping up against feelings and conflict in yourself every single night because we still have to feed the kids every single night?
It's both. Like, I've accepted it. Dinner time with us looks like I might make something that I like for myself. I know my son will have the casserole, so I usually have some form of leftover in the fridge. There's a lot of Hot Pockets for dinner, a lot of ramen, or like chicken noodle soup out of a can. And so we're kind of in that mode. And I do, like, that mom guilt comes in fast because I'm like, oh no, I'm giving all this super processed food when I should be shopping the outside of the aisle. And so I want to transition from that, but at the same time, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do it because I'm also in school. So,
oh my God,
threw that on there. I know. It's just, you know, I'm like, oh, I have schoolwork to do. I don't want to deal with cooking dinner right now. So it's just like all of these things and how can I kind of work
around
it.
And you sort of answered one of my other questions, which was like, what strategies you're employing to feed everyone. So it sounds like some slow cooker things and maybe even batch cooking with the slow cooker. It sounds like shortcut meals. And I actually think that that's like brilliant. And Stacey and I have similar backgrounds with that. We both came, like we both grew up with single moms in particular. And that, I remember being, you know, from the time I was like little until I was 8 or 9, my mom was working 2 jobs and putting herself through school. And I think that that like that is feeding them. You're doing the Fed is best and actually kind of killing it.
Yeah. And see, I grew up in the opposite household, both parents. Mom stayed at home. Dinner was on the table every night, 5:30. And we ate together as a family. Mm-hmm. And so we don't do that. Like, we don't sit down together as a family to eat dinner. It's like I eat in my bedroom. They eat wherever they're watching YouTube at. Our dining room table just holds stuff right now because we're also in the middle of packing to move across the country. So it's like,
oh my God, Kristen, you have so much happening.
It's so much. Like, and in my head, I'm like, well, once we make this move, maybe it'll be easier because, like, their dad did used to help out a lot, but he has already moved. And so we are going to move closer to him.
Got it.
And so, like, I guess, like, having that back in might help because we also have sports, which dad took over all of the sports and making sure people got to practices. And now I get to do that. And then there's all the food. So it's just everything. And I think that's why I hate cooking so much, because it's just one more thing on me. So, like, to find easy meals that they'll eat, that they'll both eat, because I also feel like a line cook at this point in time. I'm making a meal for me, a meal for my daughter, and a meal for my son. So,
I mean, it sounds a lot like that's a unicorn, finding recipes. I know we all get really stuck on recipes. I even get stuck on recipes. What are the recipes? We actually recently recorded a What We're Cooking and Eating Now, where Megan and I were both like, oh, three recipes that everybody was excited to eat. Like, it's a miracle.
Yes. I say I'm a things with things eater. Like, I just eat concoctions. That's me. And, like, right now, I'm trying to teach my kids independence, like how to make their own stuff, but they are not having it. So if I don't cook it, they will not eat.
Yeah.
So like on Saturday or Sunday, I realized like they didn't eat lunch because I was busy. So I couldn't stop to cook them anything. So they just didn't eat. And then I'm like, oh.
I mean, I have a kid like that too, who also doesn't eat.
I think we each have one where it's like, if it's not brought to them, they're not eating.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, am I going to have to spoon feed this to you or what to make sure that you eat? So
I can relate.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus, spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part, all Quince items from silk to 14 karat gold are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. ButcherBox is our secret to better back pocket meals on the fly during busy seasons like spring. They make it easy to choose a box of our family's favorite proteins that get delivered straight to our door. With the freezer stocked with 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, there's no running to the store for last-minute dinner ingredients. Plus, with free ground beef for life, we know that when meetings or soccer practice run late, we always have a reliable family favorite on hand for a quick dinner with ButcherBox's high-quality meats and a few pantry staples. That's right. ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Visit butcherbox.com/DIJFY and use code DIJFY to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/DIJFY and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Both Stacy and I have shared our own candid experiences with mental health and helping our families deal with their own. We both know firsthand that if you have ADHD, it can be overwhelming to find the right treatment. That's why we're glad to partner with Dunn. In just 1 minute, Dunn's online assessment can help kickstart your ADHD treatment journey. With experienced clinicians, worry-free refills, and online visits, you can start getting personalized care as soon as tomorrow. Take a free 1 minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Dunn for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.dunnfirst.com/podcast. Dunn, turn ADHD into your strength.
I mean, going back to what Megan said, it does sound like you are getting everybody, including yourself, fed on most days. One lunch here or there, be damned.
Yes, we are definitely getting fed for sure. It's just, can we make it better?
Okay, but what do you mean by better? Because I think that you represent so many moms mm-hmm. who aren't spending, if I may say so, quite enough time giving themselves credit for the fact that it's like, it's a season of life. Like, you once liked cooking. Maybe you will again one day. Maybe you won't. But like, everybody is getting fed. And if you could free yourself, and I know this is like easier said than done, but if you could free yourself of all the like shoulds and the guilt, there'd right. be no issue here.
Yes, there would be no issue. And I think that's what it is. Like, I look at the household that I grew up in, which was home-cooked meal at the table. And then, like, I mean, I turned out wonderful, I think. But I also look at, like,
my ex-husband
grew up in the household where both parents worked. He said, growing up, dinner was usually, like, McDonald's or some form of fast food because his mom does not cook. Like, my kids love her green beans, and they're that brand Southern style out of the can. Yeah. And they think they're amazing. I'm like, hey, they'll eat those. So, like, that's her form of cooking, and he turned out just fine. So I guess it's, like, trying to bring that together in my mind, that you can have both worlds and you can lean into one. And I think, like you said, I'm just putting so much shoulds on myself for it that I'm holding myself to a higher expectation that right now it's not going to happen. But like, I have all that mom guilt, you know, because I have a group text with two of my best friends and we talk about meals frequently. And we were actually just talking about it before I joined you. And one was talking about how she's going to be in a sports season, but she is also working on okaying with herself that dinner happens at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of where I'm at now. I need to be okay with myself that dinner is 7 p.m. and a vegetable's coming out of a can if we have a vegetable. And that's okay.
I want to ask too, if there's like some grief around family meals for you. You obviously came from this sort of idyllic, like, dinner was on the table and everyone was around it. But also, I think a lot of us go into marriage and starting a family with this expectation that it will look like that or look like something we've dreamed about. And now that it's not, is there like actually some real true like grief and reconciliation that it doesn't look like what you thought it would look like?
Oh, totally. Definitely. Because we did have that. We all sat around the table. We all ate together. And I mean, I was working a full-time job then. I was a teacher and my commute was like almost an hour home. But still, dinner was on the table. Like I had figured that one out. So I definitely think that plays into it for sure. Like, I mean, I could pinpoint when life changed, and that was back when the divorce happened. But they also then grew up from there. And so, like, we didn't have, I wasn't consistent in getting the meals to them at that point in time. And so now I kind of just revolve around that and spin out about it, how I'm not being the best, even though, like, intellectually, I know that I'm providing these meals. It's the irrational part that takes over. And, like, I know I'm being irrational about it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And it's how do I beat out that irrationality and be like, I'm fine with these meals that I'm serving to my kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like remembering, I don't know, there's just so much reinforcement in the world that getting dinner right is like such a huge part of motherhood in particular, not even just parenthood. It's really motherhood more than fatherhood, and, right?
Right. They have it easy. And like, that's one of the things I try to show on like my Facebook with my friends is like, I get life wrong a lot. Like, you're not going to see idyllic posts about my kids from me. It's going to be like, today is a really hard day. Like, this was dinner. I burned something while helping a client on the phone and helping a kid with math homework. And I completely forgot that I was cooking dinner on the stove. Like, completely the pasta and chicken and all of that just burned.
Yeah.
And it was probably burning 10 minutes before I was like, oh my goodness, I've got food on the stove because I was wrapped up in everything else.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I also feel like being able to pinpoint some other places in your motherhood where you are getting it right can sometimes.
I try to.
Yeah. I find that that can be helpful. I don't think it really, I mean, I do think we need to get back to the food because you're right. Like sometimes it's irrational and just even figuring out like solving one piece of the problem, the food problem, can really make you feel good. But this idea that everyone sitting around the dinner table yields healthier, happier children, like that's, again, that's a false relationship. It's not causal. It's that there was 20 minutes when you got to just spend time with your kid. If you find another 20 minutes, maybe it's your commute home, then your kid gets the same benefit. It's not dinner in particular. That's the thing that made the difference.
So, exactly.
You know, I think it's really helpful for us to remember that.
I'm curious if there are the other logistics of feeding family, right? Because we're talking about like how you hate to cook, but do you also hate to grocery shop? Do you also hate the dishwashing, the meal planning, all the parts of it?
I definitely hate the dishwashing. I mean, that's just a given. I do like the planning. I do get overwhelmed because I take myself to Pinterest and then I'm like, oh, I go down that rabbit hole. I remember on one of y'all's podcasts, I think you said, find like one creator who you really like and stay with their stuff and only cook from that. So I do try to do that. I've found like now I have kind of set meals that I'll make. Yes. So that does help. I used to love grocery shopping. Like that was kind of our date when I was married. Like my kids went to church with my parents Sunday mornings. My husband and I would go grocery shopping. So like, I love that. I love walking the aisles of the grocery store. And now I still do it. I do find that I tend to spend more money. So I'm trying to transition to doing the online, like having Walmart do it for me and I just go do pickup.
Yeah,
because
totally.
At least then I'll spend less. And then I guess that's kind of where I start to also beat myself up is, oh, I'm shopping at Walmart. I should be shopping at HEB or Sprouts or, you know, something like that. And then I'm like, you know what? Walmart's just fine.
It sure is.
It's fine. And so that's kind of how it all plays out. Like, I don't hate it. It's just I'm overwhelmed with everything.
Yes.
And it starts with Pinterest, and I should just get off Pinterest.
We're very partial to meal planning, but I do think that meal planning and figuring out a way to meal plan that works for you will solve a lot of these problems. And you're already doing some of it. So it might
some
just...
Some of them I am doing.
Right? Yes. So it might just be a matter of picking one that you can be consistent with. Because... it's not even that you hate to cook. You even said it at the beginning of this episode. It's really that you're overwhelmed, and everybody hates anything that feels completely overwhelming. Like, that's human, right? So if you can find a way to actually plan your meals, make sure that it doesn't take you more than 10 minutes because you are basically the busiest person I've ever met right now.
Yes. Like,
you don't have time.
You do not have time.
I really wonder if the guilt of shopping at Walmart would fall away if you were like, look, I know what I'm cooking this week. I feel decent about these meals, and I got it done in 25 to 30 minutes. I planned the meals. I did the shop. It's going to be delivered, because you would reduce your overwhelm so much by like keeping it nice and compact and manageable. I think that sometimes we spin once we're overwhelmed, because you're like, okay, I spent too much money and now I don't even like these meals and they're not even going to eat it. And then it's easy to like pile on, and I got it at Walmart instead of Sprouts, and like blah, 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 blah. Like, you start to...
Right. I start to get twirly.
Spiral.
So, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like meal planning is especially important for people who feel like they hate to cook, because it just keeps it a more like tight, neat, manageable task that you just get in and get out, because we all do things that we hate to do, right? But if we can just make it manageable.
What would you suggest? Like, what is the best way to meal plan to make it more effective for me?
Oh, this is a great question.
It is a great question.
Okay. One, we don't feel like there's a one-size-fits-all meal planning system. The thing is really to... look at like what you're already doing well, look at what your roadblocks are, and start in the simplest way that you possibly can. So like for me, I started meal planning when I had a newborn and I was going back to work. And so I would only plan like 3 or 4 meals, and then I would let the other nights be like, okay, we're eating leftovers or pulling something out of the pantry. And that like momentum of having some things planned helped me feel way less overwhelmed. If you're a planner person, a planner is a great place to do it. But honestly, like, Stacey and I both utilize our notes app in our phone to like make our meal plan. And then we keep that running, which I think this is going to be like, Stacey's like, yes, take care of your overwhelm. But I think another key component for you is going to be tracking your wins and finding some food joy again.
That's where I was going to go next. I'm so excited that you brought this up, because I really hear it as a theme, Kristen, and what you're talking about is feeling bad about what's on the table, or like feeling dissatisfied and being like, all of this, and like, this is what we're eating and this is how we're eating it. And I feel like if you could start to feel a little bit, even just a little bit better about what everybody's eating, then any amount of effort you put in just has a bigger payoff.
And then another part of this, like, then you've got this momentum, right? You're planning a little bit, you're tracking the wins, and you're tracking the food joy. And then within that, I think figuring out, which it kind of sounds like you do a little bit already, like figuring out the things that you can cook once and eat twice, like doing the mojo pork in the slow cooker and making that be one meal and then having it roll over into another meal. I don't think that you're like in a season where you're going to get rid of the short order cook feeling, and that's okay. I think finding some like Venn diagram dinners where it's like you have that meat for your daughter, the carnivore, and then you have all the, like, you have a couple other things that make it more filling for your son, and then you have like a sauce or a dressing that feels really exciting to you, even if that's store-bought. It'll become this cycle of like, okay, you've got the momentum, got a little bit of food joy, you're taking some things off your plate later in the week, and that gives you time back to keep like meal planning a little bit more and getting a little bit ahead.
Can we workshop some meals for Kristen? Yeah. Can we do that real fast? Like even just a few minutes. So like,
I have a question before we dive into that, which is like, what is food joy to you? Like what meals are super satisfying to you, or flavors that like make you feel excited and that you love?
I like pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. I am on a big taco, street taco kick. There's a taco place near me that makes this amazing green sauce, which I have found the jarred jalapeno sauce at Trader Joe's yes. is almost the equivalent, and I can drink that stuff like straight out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. So that's like my thing right now. I like Asian flavors a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Like my kids love ramen. Like if we go to a restaurant, they always want to go to the ramen place. Yep. And that's great for me. But I haven't been able to like replicate really good Asian flavors at home.
It can be hard.
It can. Yeah. And then I just, food joy for me is like going to a restaurant that I haven't tried and trying new stuff. Like I hate the word foodie, but I would consider myself that. Mm-hmm. And I always hoped my kids would be that. And maybe they will be one day and we can go enjoy new restaurants. But that's my food joy, is getting to try a new restaurant that I've never tried and trying new foods.
Okay, I have one quick little aside, which is that my husband, up until college, had to be fed enriched pasta mm-hmm. because he ate so few things. It was like carrot sticks, pasta, one particular brand of jarred sauce. He was such a picky eater. And now, like, he'll eat anything, and food is like one of his biggest joys. So,
oh, good.
Like, don't.
So there's hope.
There is there hope. Is. Don't give up on your kids. First of
Excellent.
All, just let them be. They're doing their
it's
thing.
It's never too late to be introducing them to new foods, trying new things. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't give up.
Okay.
And what I vegetables mean, did your son? You mentioned that he eats broccoli in casseroles. Like, will he eat broccoli in other forms? Does he eat other
yes.
vegetables?
He'll eat cooked broccoli. He loves peas. They're his favorite.
Ooh.
He eats carrots raw. Mm-hmm. I did get him. I made a pot roast the other day, and he tried the carrot in that, and he said it was good, but he wouldn't eat more than the, like, one piece I cut up for him. He likes like the little bell peppers, the small sweet ones.
Yeah.
He'll eat those if I have them in the fridge. The weird thing is like he eats a lot of this stuff at my friend's house, but he won't eat it at our house. And she is that I cook everything from scratch mom. And like I make my own bread. I grow my own vegetables. Like, so everything over there, he's
okay.
He's like, it's new to him and he's never seen it. And then he comes home and I'm like, look, I have it too. And he's like, oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
That's the piece. That kind of stuff, I feel like, is really just a matter of letting go, because that's just
yeah.
like regular parent kid stuff. Like,
okay,
kids
yeah.
are just weird and jerks sometimes to us. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, I mean, I frequently, like, people ask me, I'm like, my kids are just, they're weird. It's hard to explain. Like, they have their things and they're just my odd little ducks and that's what they are.
So,
yeah.
I think you're on a right track with the slow cooker and roasts. Mm-hmm. Like I heard you say about the like mojo pork. I heard you say pot roast. Is that kind of stuff working for you?
I'm trying to make it work. Like I have not been a fan of pot roast. So like I made one recently because I was trying to become more of a fan of it. And I realized like, the way my mom cooked it versus how I cooked it. I think that's why I didn't like it. Like growing up in the 80s, she covered the whole thing in water and it sat in the crock pot while we were at church for those hours. Mm-hmm. And it was always really tough. And so I found a recipe where they cooked it in the oven and it's different. It's not fully covered in water and it's fantastic. And they will eat it. They eat the meat. They won't eat the vegetables because I mainly cook it because I like the cooked carrots. So it's my method of getting those amazing carrots. So they'll eat the meat, just not the vegetables.
I mean, you're not going to suddenly wave a magic wand and have kids who are going to like eat all the vegetables. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's when we
exactly.
workshop that. So like at some point, just like managing your expectations for what it means mm-hmm. when you say, I wish we had better meals. Like what does better mean? I'm wondering, and then Megan, I'm curious if you have thoughts bubbling up. I'm wondering if doing a little bit of meal prep, and I don't know because we don't know quite enough about your schedule to know if this fits, but I am really drawn to this thought that like you can make a roast or a big like pork shoulder, pork butt, and then have flexibility where like maybe you shred the meat and make street tacos for yourself and just slice the meat and put it over, I don't know, your daughter doesn't eat rice, but like maybe just give her the meat. And then
because she doesn't do mashed potatoes either.
Right.
Or any form of potato.
Right. And then like put crudité in the middle for your son, like peppers, carrot, you know, something easy. But like doing like some big meat thing like once or twice a week when you have time, and then being able to do the Venn diagram meals where everybody's enjoying it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I like that idea, and I have not thought of that.
Yeah, Megan, what's bubbling up for you?
Specifically, like in that vein, there is a recipe that I wrote for thekitchen.com that's been very popular within our listeners community for Mississippi pot roast. So it's not going to be like your mom's or the oven roasted traditional flavors. In fact, it uses like seasoning envelopes, like a ranch seasoning envelope, a brown gravy envelope, and like an Italian, I think, are the three, plus some of the pickly liquid from jarred peppercinis. And you slow cook it all day. And then we often eat it as sandwiches with like a little bit of melted provolone cheese on like a nice squishy bun. But it makes a ton. And then we'll turn the leftovers in to tacos, which would go so well with that Trader Joe's sauce that you love. Okay. And then if you had any little bits of leftovers, like I would turn that into a sort of like ramen noodle stir fry, not traditional ramen where it's brothy, but I will share with you a recipe, and we can put it in the show notes for this episode, from this site called Simple Home Edits, where she makes like a beef and air quotes beef and broccoli, and she uses ground meat, but you could use the leftover Mississippi pot roast for it. And literally, I just use ramen, like the top ramen packets as the noodle instead of like looking for a specialty noodle. And it only requires like a little bit of hoisin sauce, and you can throw some broccoli in there if your son will eat that and be big enough pieces that they could eat around it. But I think those, like if you did one Mississippi pot roast, you could get three meals out of it that would give you a little variety and hit on the flavors that you're enjoying right now, which sometimes is the most important thing, that you enjoyed dinner, even if no one else did.
And that's kind of like the land I've moved into. I'm like, I'm making what I like. You can eat it or you cannot. Yeah. And if you don't, find something.
I'm wondering, as we're throwing these ideas to you, is there a voice in the back of your head that's like, yeah, but the vegetables?
Yes and no. I'm trying to kick that voice back and be like, get out of here, voice. It's okay. It's okay.
Because will your daughter really not eat a single vegetable?
She really will not. Like the other night for dinner, I made green beans just like out of the bag steamed.
Yeah.
Son loved them. I love green beans. I took one out of the bag. I cut it up into like 10 pieces. So they're like this big,
yeah,
tiny little. Mm-hmm. She ate one of those, and there was a lot of gagging and chugging of her milk cup after that.
Yeah.
So
Then I'm going to say something that I hope puts your mind at ease. I actually think trying to crack the vegetable code with her will drive you crazy and actually may backfire on her relationship with vegetables.
And that's, I tell myself that quite a bit. And so now we're just in this, I'm going to put it on your plate, because like even for the longest time, I couldn't even put it on the plate. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm just going to put it on your plate. Don't think that you have to eat it. And let's just see how it goes.
Well, first of all, stop there. That's major to not be able to put it. That is major progress.
Mm-hmm.
And if what you're hoping for is that you raise a daughter who ends up having a healthy relationship with food, forcing vegetables right now, if she's going to gag over the tiny, is like absolutely not the way. So what you have to come to terms with is that you're actually doing the right thing. You're doing the better thing. Like, it's happening.
And I'm working so hard on like trying not to pass on my food issues to either of my kids, because I grew up, you know, in the 80s, everyone was on a diet. I was doing Slim Fast and Weight Watchers at 10. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't want to pass that on. Like, my mom is 79 and still constantly talks about the diet that she's on. And I'm like, if I'm talking about a diet, it's 79-80, someone please just get rid of me, because I don't want to do that. Like, I want food to be sustenance. So we do work very hard on food as fuel. there's no good, bad. There's no good food, no bad food. Everything is just food. And some of it makes us feel better than other foods. And so I think they get that.
Yeah.
And just like figuring that out. Because I, right now, like getting back into food is kind of difficult. Because like in 2022, I was diagnosed with leukemia. And so like that year was kind of lost. So like, you know, we're figuring it all out. Because for a year, I didn't really eat anything. And now it's like we're getting all back into it. So.
Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seen more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. That's why she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Beyond being good for them, both Stacy and my dog, Daisy and Ziggy, love Badland Ranch's Superfood Complete. Go to badlandfoods.com/DIJFY and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsfood.com/DIJFY today. Y'all, I have to tell you about how much fun I've been having with clothing rentals from Armoire. You know that I've been using Armoire for a while now to help navigate everything from my changing body to personal style ruts. But recently, Armoire came in clutch with personalized style suggestions for a spring break trip. I tried a beautiful dress from Farm Rio and a pair of white wide leg jeans from Paige Denim. Plus, sending my items back after vacation was so easy, and now I get to select a new case full of fresh items for spring and summer. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for a more new-to-you style. Right now, Didn't I Just Feed You listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/DIJFY. That's Armoire Style, armoire.style/DIJFY to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising 3 kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up, and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today.
Listen, things take time. So I just think that this has been such an interesting, great conversation because I do wonder if a lot of people who would raise their hand when you say, who in this room hates to cook?
On a forum for people who want to feed their kids, yes. Exactly. Yes.
But I bet you a lot of people who would raise their hand, the reality is not about hating to cook. It's about overwhelm. And it's about it feeling like something is out of control, whether it's their kids' like habits or preferences, and then this guilt piece. So even though, you know, we'd love for these How We Feed episodes to just be about someone's experience, you know, we're not trying to necessarily walk away being able to give everybody advice that anybody can use. It's about you and your story. But I do think in sharing your story, it's going to resonate with a lot of people that if they take a little closer look, if they were forced to get on the microphone with Stacey and Megan for 30 minutes, they might find that it's not hating to cook. It's this other stuff that actually, when you can kind of identify it, you can start to talk to yourself about it a little bit. You know, the way you're starting to talk to yourself about like, yeah, like my daughter's going to be okay. Like I'm... She will. She so will.
I mean, I know you're right. Like, she will be fine. And again, it goes to that. It's just the little irrational part of my brain that gets spinny because I allow myself to get lost in the world of social media on times and occasion. And I feel like I see these other moms who are just doing these amazing things with their kids, and their kids eat all of these amazing foods. And I'm like, but mine's not. But she will. Eventually, because she did at one point in time, and it's just finding her time again. And so right now we're just going to be in the season of meat and carbs.
Meat and carbs.
And I need to accept that.
So. Honestly, sounds delicious.
I know. And is this so dangerous to say? Because I don't want people to unfollow us.
Unfollow.
Yeah. Or like... Find a way, like social media, really, like all the talks that we parents have about how concerned we are about social media for our kids. Mm-hmm. And then we don't really like,
and
remember,
we don't monitor it for ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like some of this food, Megan and I talk about this all the time. Some of the food follows are triggering for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like sometimes you just got to unfollow and just like be in your moment and reduce the overwhelm.
Yes. That's good to hear. Because I say that to people all the time. So having it said to me, I'm like, yes, that's wise advice. I need to follow it.
It's a bitch, right? When someone gives you your own advice, you're like,
Yeah, like, I don't like it.
So rude. Okay. Kristen, I feel like I want to check back in with you. And after the move, after you've like...
The move is like at the end of May.
Yeah.
So
even like in six months and see like what it feels like with some of the things that we've suggested and see how it has changed. But this has been really wonderful. We really appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, putting the call out there, and then also just for y'all's podcast, because like, I like it. I've used some of the recipes from y'all's food community, and going on there and seeing what other people are feeding their kids has helped give me ideas. There's definitely been stuff that I've found on there. And And I know I have that Mississippi pot roast pinned. I look at it frequently.
Yeah, we'll share those things in the show notes for this episode for anyone else who's listening. But I'll also email them to you so you can have them right away.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, Megan, I feel a little bit... If people only knew what a horrible actor I was, because I really did try it at one point in middle school.
You did?
Because I like,
oh my God,
really,
this is new information I'm learning six years in.
I'd love to be a celebrity.
Yes.
Energy.
That's
sometimes.
That's Leo for you. Me being a Scorpio at the top of the show, you being a Leo at the end.
So, you know, in middle school, I was like, maybe I'm an actor. I'm terrible. And it was not that fun for me. So anyway, I'm not acting is the point. Like, we really, I don't even know if Kristen knows about meal planning for everyone, our audio course. I don't know if like, she was aware of it. We have, the script had no mention of it. Like, this was not supposed to be a plug for meal planning for everyone. But like,
then it
This is why we did it.
Yes.
Yes. This is why we did it. Because it is an answer. Like, it just came up naturally and we got so excited about it, because meal planning does, when you hate to cook for the kinds of reasons that Kristen hates to cook, meal planning does solve a lot of the logistical pieces that contribute to major feelings of overwhelm. And overwhelm gives way to guilt a lot of the time.
Yeah. And then you just get stuck in this cycle where you're like, well, I don't like it. So what am I going to do to change it? There's no momentum forward without a little bit of planning. And like we talked about with Kristen, like it doesn't have to be this all or nothing thing. Like you don't have to dive right into meal planning for a whole month for it to save you time and help you feel less overwhelmed, a little bit at a time.
And it also doesn't even have to be, this is the main and the carb in the side. Like it really should take shape based on what works for you. In fact, thinking about a lot of the principles that we go over and a lot of the prompts that we go over in meal planning for everyone, I was sort of like, I wonder what Kristen would end up with. And we don't know because there's no one size fits all. It would be about her just taking a short little time investment, that small upfront investment to save so much time every week around meals and cooking and shopping and all of that and overwhelming guilt. But anyway, like, I bet you her meal plan would probably not even be like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It might just be like two things that she pops into her crock pot. And then underneath it, it could be, you know, okay, if I had to do a Mississippi pot roast, 1, 2 street taco, beef street tacos, 3 pasta with meat sauce. You know, where she can take the little dregs of the Mississippi pot roast, add a can of jar of tomato sauce and cover that, you know, use that to cover pasta. Like it could just be notes. Meal planning can look so wildly different depending on what solutions you're trying to come up with.
Yes. I feel a little spicy and I'm like, for anyone who's listening and has been like, oh, I hate to cook, and Kristen's experience sounds like your experience, I really want like people to get into meal planning for everyone audio course and see if it doesn't change that part of feeding their family for them. If it doesn't make them feel a little bit less overwhelmed, or, you know, Kristen even mentioned the guilt of like spending money on things and how she shops. I think really targeting that one pain point, the overwhelm or the money part of feeding your family, can make you feel just so much better about it. And meal planning is the way. So didn'tijustfeedyou.com/meal planning for everyone. You can find all the details about what's included in there and also sign up for it.
Yeah. And if you hate cooking, it's funny because at the top you were like, you know, I'm sure there's some people who hate the like chopping. And I almost interrupted you and be like, we all like, I love to cook. I hate the chopping. But like, I think of my sister who did a guest appearance once on the show of what we're cooking and eating now. Like, she just hates to cook. Like, she doesn't, it brings her no joy to like find a recipe, follow it. She feels like she doesn't like what she ends up with. It's like not fun for her at all. So if you're someone like that and that fits the bill and you have always felt that way, you've never found joy in cooking, give us a shout out.
Or if you hate cooking in a way we haven't even mentioned, we would also to hear about that. So hello at didn'tijustfeedyou.com.
You're into the multitude of hate. Yeah.
The multiverse of hate. Yes. I love it so much. Okay. Hey, thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Getzik. I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacey. Stay sane and well-fed until next time.
Be sure to subscribe to Didn't I Just Feed You wherever you're listening. And don't forget to rate and review.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.